Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's session. And if you were with us last week, then you know that we were talking about men and women and relationships and just being who we are in the world today. And we ended at a really great place talking about being able to be submissive to God, being able to be submissive to each other as husband and wife. And I want to actually pick up there, Roger, just with the last part of Ashley, who's been in the audience with us for recording of these episodes the last couple of weeks. And was it hard for you, and is it hard for you to be submissive to me as a husband? And you made an example that was really personal. And I think in our learning experiences, maybe you have grown more in your ability to receive sort of my input, you know what I mean? I think when we got married, I was very comfortable not worrying and not thinking about anything. I had been a single mom for so long and had worked for so long. I wanted you to take care of the bills. I wanted you to think about the work. I didn't want to think about anything except whether or not my credit card worked. And it was a little childish, and God gave me a childish season. And then I sort of looked up one day when some real life stuff happened and went, wait a minute, I can't be angry at my husband.
Well, of course. I mean, I think in human nature, it's always going to be in the flesh hard for women to submit to men and men to submit to women. So obviously we want to end up with the mind of Christ. We want to end up with that spiritual mindset that gets you in the place where you can do God's will, even if in the flesh it's ugly. And of course, Christ is the perfect example of that. He does the Father's will, even going to the cross. So, which physically he did not want to do, but spiritually he wanted to accomplish. And so it's like, do we value our relationship and success in God over our success in the world? And, you know, there's so many examples I could give, but let me give you an example. You women, you do not want to find a man who is submissive in the wrong way. And what I mean by that is if your worldly charms can get him to do pretty much anything you want, that is not the man you want. An example of that is Samson in the Bible, right? Like, here he is, the most powerful guy. He's just he is the man of men. You know, he killed 1,000 people with the jawbone of a donkey. You know, I mean, there's no stopping this guy. It's unbelievable what he can do. And he's a leader, and he's an amazing guy, but he's destroyed by a single woman who he couldn't resist. And in Delilah. And so it's like, you see this man submit to the woman's will and you're going, no. You're giving away all your power. That's what you don't want. Right. You don't want a man that you can steal all his power. That is evil.
Right.
That's not God.
Right. But, and that leads me to a great question from our audience, from Jennifer. The Bible talks of the man being the spiritual head of the household, yet there are many women who are the drivers spiritually in a family. They're the prayer warriors. They're the ones making sure that everybody gets to church. So how does a wife remain biblically submissive to her husband when he isn't necessarily leading in that area? And come on, that happens.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, I think that also you want to look at Proverbs 31 and read what that wife is, because you tend to get this idea of what a submissive wife is and what the head of the household is screwed up. And then you read this woman in Proverbs 31 and you're like, hey, wait a second. She's literally buying properties and her husband doesn't know. I mean, every time it's good what she's doing. But she's so successful at being a leader and about accomplishing things and about her family doesn't worry because of her, you know, and all of this kind of stuff. So, and the husband's a leader in the gate. And in those days, that meant he was a judge. He was a judge of the whole area. So her efforts actually made him a leader in the community. you know, it's giving credit to her for actually pushing him to a place of leadership that's beyond, which her handling of so much stuff made it so that he could handle even higher stuff. Right. And so, you know, if you have that in your heart, if you have it in your heart to elevate your husband to the position he's supposed to be in, a lot of times you're going to be the one getting everybody to church. So does that make you the leader, or does that make you a good part with your husband? I don't know. I mean, it depends. I mean, obviously there's a lot of times where the husband is not fulfilling his role and the woman needs to basically do that. But again, I would say concentrate mostly on what your part should be, because in the end, hopefully, if your husband is not in a coma, that he sees where his leadership skills fail. So if you can have a talk and you can say, okay, you know, dear head of the family, and look, this head of the family isn't symbolic. In other words, it's not just talk. On the other hand, it's not where the husband is the one barking orders to everybody and everybody obeys him. Neither one is true. It's a spiritual headship, okay? And so there is a way in which God loves that spiritual order. And, you know, we don't buck order. We don't walk into a courtroom and tell the judge what's up. You know, it's just not how we, if you do, you're really making it bad for yourself, right? And yeah. So we don't get out of order in all sorts of situations. So it's like, why would you get out of order in your family? There's no reason.
Yeah, but totally. But that's not to say that there's not, I think we get the word submission confused sometimes as women, because my submission to my husband would probably look like an all out bucking up a lot of the times, because when I don't agree with you, we butt heads. You know, when I feel right about something, I'm strong, you know, I stand up to you, and sometimes you will go, okay, and you let it go, and you will kind of submit to me on the point or the issue or whatever we're discussing. And sometimes I'll kind of catch myself and go, eh, you know, he's right. A lot of times what you do that's really great, and this is why, you know, I pray for all of my female friends to really like have a man that does know God and knows how to submit to God, because you know, there's some maturity and some wisdom there at work. And it is more challenging, Roger, when as a woman, you feel like you're the one, you know, responsible for the spiritual growth and feeding of the family. I mean, let's be realistic. Yep. It's tough.
Yeah.
It is tough.
Yeah.
And, sure. and that's where prayer, you know, comes in. That's where for me, a lot of times, cause you know, I didn't arrive to the kingdom of God perfect. I arrived here having slipped and slid through 19,000 relationships with a lot of the wrong, well, most of the wrong guys, let's be real. And so, you know, I'm transparent about that, because I mean, who's perfect? You know, I don't know anybody. I'm sure they exist. They're just not in my friend group. And so, yeah. So, you know, my relationships with guys who weren't spiritually my equal, at least, just didn't work, because when they weren't my equal spiritually, they usually weren't my equal intellectually or heart-wise or in other ways. But when they were my equal, you know, when I could respect them for other things, but maybe spiritually they were kind of, you know, I felt like I was out in front more, I would sort of ask myself, am I trying to call forth this vision in them? Am I trying to help them? And it leads us to some really great questions we have here, Roger, unless you want to
I have one
tie that up.
And it's going to really define what we're talking about for everybody. What we're talking about is spiritual submission.
Right.
If two people were married and they met at work and the wife was the CEO of the company, that doesn't change when they get married.
Right.
She is still his boss. No one would argue, including the husband, about that. we're talking about a spiritual thing. So let me give you an instance. Way back in the Jesus movement, there was this kid, he was probably six, and he had the gift of healing off the chart. Off the chart, gift of healing. And so let me ask you a question. If you were sick and you knew that a lot of people were getting healed by this, you know, when God would use this kid, would you go submit to the kid praying for you?
Yes.
Of course.
Because there is no junior Holy Spirit. Same. Yeah. God speaks to all of us.
Exactly. And so, and that's how Robbie Dawkins gets everybody activated, right? And the gift of healing is, he's like, look, the same Holy Spirit that heals through me heals for you. And that's why he has everybody else do the healing, because there's no junior Holy Spirit, as he famously has said. It's the same God working in a man, in a woman, mm-hmm. Same God. He's working in the six-year-old. He's working. So you're not submitting to a six-year-old to get prayer. You're submitting to God to do what he's doing through that six-year-old, right? And so the same thing is true in a marriage, but the problem is you're so close together as people. It's hard to back off and see what God's doing through both and recognize that it's God. You're not submitting to a man. You're submitting to what God's doing through the man. You're not submitting to a woman. You're submitting to what God's doing through the woman or not, just like the woman who knew not to invest, but the man invested anyway. It was only after that that he could recognize that God led her and not him.
Right.
And he also recognized that God led her in her submission.
Right.
He could recognize everything. She wasn't just hearing God more correctly. She was also obeying God more correctly.
Right. And if he's smart and he wants to have a good life, why would you not go with the fact that, hey, my girl is getting some stuff I'm not getting?
Right.
Let me support. Exactly. Right. Let me support this and make her life better, not compete with her, be angry with her, put her down and try to make her feel like less than. And I've been in those relationships too, you know?
Right. And we all do that to each other in the natural.
Yeah. But look, I married you because you never do that to me.
Yeah, but in the natural, like for instance, let's say we were talking about TV, right? And how to do a TV production. I don't know anything about that. You know everything about that, right? Like you've done it. I haven't done it. It'd be idiotic for me in the natural to try and somehow supersede you in anything having to do with that. Also in architecture, you've never drawn a single line to draw a building. It would be absolutely ridiculous for you to come up and go, oh, that's not how you do it. You know, it's just ridiculous, right? So, but on the other hand, it isn't the way, I don't have an opinion about when a show's all completed and I can say, I could have been better. Or you look at a design I did and go, oh, I think you could do better. We have a place. We just, it's ridiculous to lord over each other though in the natural,
yeah.
Right? And in fact, that's not how the kingdom works. It's upside down kingdom. That's why Jesus washed their feet and said, you call me Lord and Master, and well, you should, but look how I served you. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. So the man who's supposed to be the head is supposed to support the system by being the servant. And so a woman is the head of the family as well, and in that sense, and is the support system. So if you have to get everybody to church, if you have to do certain things to make in the natural, to make the family work, so what? We're talking about a spiritual leadership, right? And so, yes, a woman that has walked with the Lord for 25 years might marry a man who's walked with the Lord for a year. And it would be absolutely absurd for the man to start trying to teach her the Bible. I mean, not that you won't get some insight along the way. You shouldn't discount it completely. But what I'm saying is, but in the spirit realm, there's a certain leadership God will give him, even though he doesn't have the knowledge for it. He should recognize her spiritual heritage and wisdom and all of that stuff. Also, she should recognize that he does have a spiritual standing with the Lord that's a little bit different than her. And if you can do that, if you can honor each other in that way, then, and of course, the Bible talks about the woman honoring the man and the man honoring the woman. Actually, for men, it says if he doesn't honor the woman, that his prayers will be hindered. So, man, you're really messed up if you're a man and you don't honor your wife. So,
Peggy asks an amazing question. And I think this really is, she says, this is a part of the church I feel is often ignored or not understood. And it's so true. And the question is, what do you say to the thousands of households that are headed up by women? And it makes me think of the, I mean, millions of households that are headed up by women who are single moms, who are divorced, or who are widowed. So what do you say?
Okay, so basically the question is, let me rephrase the question. What do you say when the God paradigm is broken? Because the God paradigm is to have a husband, wife, and children all in the same home. Mm-hmm. And to not recognize that is a mistake, right? Like, it's a mistake. So it's kind of like saying, what do you say to some, it's like telling somebody to walk faster that has one leg. I mean, you have to recognize the person has one leg before you can tell them anything about how to get around. Right. So you got a family now, whether the husband, you know, there never was a husband, or whether the husband's deceased and the woman's widowed or whatever, you're in a situation that is not, you know, according to how God designed it to be. So now you have a situation where, and if you don't recognize that, you're dealing with a few issues. You're going to try and be something you're not.
Hmm.
Okay.
The pressure to be the mom and the dad.
Right. You will never be a dad. Let me say that again.
I tried.
You will never be a dad. Let me say that another time. You will never be a dad. You won't be a good dad. You won't be a bad dad. You will never be a dad. Right. You will be a mom. You can be a mom trying to act like a dad.
I was not very good at being a mom trying to act like a dad.
Well, we never are any good at trying to be something we aren't.
Right. Right.
You know?
So...
well, I think that's the most important thing. And then you have to say, how can I be the best mom that I possibly can be? Mm-hmm. You are the spiritual leader of the household at that point, right? Because there is no man. And which is fine. God can do anything. God can do anything. And there's hope for you in everything. So then you have to say, okay, God, what is your destiny for us? What is your destiny for us? You have to ask God, what are you looking for? What do you want? Right. And you have to be open to what he wants. You know, I've dealt with so many situations where I've talked to a guy and he's like, you know, I have kids, but you know, whatever, I don't have a wife for whatever reason. And I'd really like to have a wife. Okay. So, what are you looking for? Well, it turns out he has a box this big that a wife has to fit in.
Yeah.
You know, she's right. Got to be this ethnicity. She has to be this look. She has to be this age. She has to be like this. And I'm thinking, and I never heard in there, she needs to be a good mother to your kids.
Right.
You know, or whatever. And so God is not, when you put God in a box, he doesn't fit in boxes.
You know, Salumbra's question kind of piggybacks on this, because she says, as a single mom and a widow, you know, trying to raise sons, am I supposed to be both male and female, getting them to respect me? And that is a big question. That's a part of, I think, Peggy's question. Is a lot of times I felt like I wanted respect. Like, sometimes this young man would be disrespectful, I thought, and he needed to respect me. And I think I was trying to get him to respect me in this manly sort of way, but maybe it was, this is a big question. What do you think about that one, Roger?
Did Delilah win with Samson in a manly way?
No, Delilah won with Samson as a woman.
Right.
Yeah. Her power was in her charm and her softness and the way she smelled, and she was fully a woman.
And she used it big time. Lay your head down here. Let me scratch your head. This is what, unfortunately, it used to be taught with women. It used to be taught in learn to cook well. learn how to be, how to use your femininity for power. And I hate to say it that way, but it's true. It's true because what you're given by God is to be used for good purposes. And if you understood that, you know, the biggest mistake, one of the biggest mistakes I see women do, let's say they're somewhere with their husband and the husband's whatever, all dressed up, looking good. And other women, you know, are just being normal, but, you know, paying attention. And the wife puts him down in front of him. It's the exact opposite. She's pushing him away from her instead of drawing him near her. If she sat there and goes, he's the best man on the planet. I know what God's given me. It just causes him to act in a way where literally everybody else knows that they are together and there's no space there. And if she is putting him down and saying all the things that he does wrong, nobody's believing her. All those women are going, man, if you knew what was out here, you would not be talking like this. Yeah. You know, I'll treat him right. I'll compliment him, you know, and it's like, We in the natural sometimes do what we should do in the spiritual, you know, and use what God's given you to actually accomplish everything. Don't, and the first number one thing is forgiveness, right? Usually all of those situations come because there's some bitterness left over. And it's true with the kids too. So let's say you're a single mom and the kids aren't treating you right and they're angry and got issues. Have you forgiven them? Have you gone before the Lord and done your parental duty on a spiritual level and gone and cut off the enemy from your kids that he's gotten a right to do because they're not honoring you? God, they're not honoring their parent, Lord. And I know that there's a blessing with that and a curse, Lord, if they don't do it. So Lord, forgive them for not honoring their mom. Lord, forgive them for how they're treating me. God, I pray, Father. And then I just reject the enemy off of my kids' lives. Get away from them. And then go approach your kids and see what happens. Many times that's the only thing. The only thing that's going on. And that's your, if you want to know where your best spiritual leadership is, it's right there.
It, Salumbra, that is so true. There was a time as a single mom, and when Roger came into our lives, we would fight like cats and dogs. Oh boy. I mean, you know, he was 15, he was becoming a young man and, you know, he was taller than me and oh boy. And, you know, and I'm dealing with me and all my brokenness anyway, and being single and, you know, working and the bills and the stress of all of that. And when Roger explained to me that I needed to take spiritual authority, get quiet, go to prayer. And in the middle of my son, maybe disrespecting me or talking to me a certain way that was hurtful to me, to just pray, to forgive him. He would say, just under your breath, forgive him. I forgive Christian right now for being rude and disrespectful to me in Jesus' name. And a lot of times, I'm not kidding you, I would see a spirit kind of come off of him and he would change. And sometimes he wouldn't, but I would change because I would feel God take that thing, that issue from me. And I trusted that God was going to deal with it. And he did, you know, he really did. And I have to say, in time and over the long run, he really blessed me to have a son that is, you know, is a good kid and has stayed out of a lot of trouble. And I know it's because I submitted to God's lordship and leadership over my life and my home and my marriage. And it is not easy for me to submit. Because when you have done it on your own for a long time, you just put on your boxing gloves and you just come out and you're fighting through the day. But walking with the Lord is really about understanding that you take your boxing gloves off and you hold God's hand and he fights through the day for you. And all we have to do is hold on and follow and he does the rest. And it's really great. And we are out of time. We're a little bit over time. So I want to be faithful to get you guys all out of here on time. But you have been a part of another session. Roger, thank you as always. You're just a wonderful guest. I love to talk about these things with you. And and I'm happy that we can.
Glad to be here.
All right. Well, as for all the rest of you, I just wish you guys a really blessed week. You've been a part of another session, and I will see you next week. And for those of you who are watching, who, you know, just stop, you know, and remind yourself of who you are in Christ. You know, sometimes it helps to recommit our lives. You know, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He came to earth in the flesh and he died for our sins. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And I choose to follow him and to love him all the days of my life. And I choose to allow him to be Lord of my life. And that is the prayer that has saved all of us and the prayer that will save you continually. So if you don't know the Lord, I just want to encourage you to take a few moments of silence and just say that prayer and invite that relationship into your life. I'm Cynthia Garrett. I'll see you next week. Hi, everyone. I'm Cynthia Garrett, your host of The Sessions, and I hope you're enjoying each and every episode each week of our virtual sessions from home. I hope you're staying well, and I hope you're staying happy, and I hope that you'll feel encouraged to pick up a copy of my new book, I Choose Victory, Moving from Victim to Victor. And I also hope that in your efforts to walk in victory in your life, you'll become a member of Girl Club. It's a live Friday life and Bible study that I am bringing you with a host of regular real girls having real talk about real issues and applying our real faith. You can find out how to register and become a part of Girl Club and how to see all things Cynthia Garrett at cynthiagarrett.org or at ichoosevictory.com. I love you guys. I'll see you soon.